Steve, glad to have you back on. How you been?
Good, brother. How are you? It's been a long time.
Doing fantastic. Yep. Looks like you're there chilling in the Bahamas or Fiji or something like that. Yep. In an undisclosed location somewhere around the world.
That's me. It's part of my counterintelligence program.
Yeah, there you go. So a lot of stuff to discuss. It's been a while since we talked and a lot of things going on. I want to mainly talk to you about just kind of all the major stories going on. We'll chat about Elon Musk, Durham. I want to ask you about what's going on there in Arizona with the election too. We're hearing some interesting stuff coming out from Kerry Lake and possible raids, possible actually action going on with arrests of the election fraud there. And we'll see what else comes up too. So first thing I want to talk to you about is Elon Musk. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Musk is, there's no way to say this without pissing people off, so I'm just going to say it.
Whether you love him or hate him, any angle you take is definitely going to piss somebody off, and they're going to disagree with you, so whatever.
I think the guy is, the timing of this whole thing, and sorry I'm so tongue-tied, because I just want to come out and say the guy's a sociopath, and I don't believe anything he says. But that said, the thing that I want to zero in on is, it's really two things. Number one, what he's exposed is that Twitter was never designed to be a for-profit company, right? It was a shell company for the CIA and for the Democratic Party. Yeah, DARPA.
Yep.
And it was really designed to control the cultural narrative. And if you look at Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you can see that the next one that's going to fall is going to be Twitter, right? And the best part of what's happening, at least in the social context, is that he's outed the fact that Twitter's a ghost town and it's just filled with bots and that their revenue stream is fiction. The real question is, where's the money coming from? Is it being funneled right from the government to pay the employees? Because that really is what it seems like, right? They don't generate a profit. They haven't generated a profit. I could never understand why people were so in love with Jack Dorsey. And now I understand it was all hype to promote the platform and promote people coming to that medium so they could control the narrative. And now that the story's out, everybody's looking at Facebook going, is Facebook too? Yes, it is. Is YouTube? Yes, it is. And you know, whether or not he actually buys a company doesn't matter. The stock's going to do a free fall now that people know that it's over 50% bots, and it's probably 80 or 90% because people have abandoned that platform over a year ago because of the censorship. And I think what's the result of it, though, and the part that I always had a hard time with that people don't understand is, when you do an acquisition, you go through a very, very quiet period where you're not talking about it in the public space, so the SEC doesn't come in and accuse you of manipulating the stock price. As well as that process works is you make a bid, they sign the offer, and then you do due diligence, right? So that process is going the way it should go, right? He made the bid based on the SEC filings. I'm using his words verbatim here. He took the SEC filings and then he made the offer based off what was in the SEC filings. And then he started due diligence and realized that there was way more bots and way more algorithms going on than they had disclosed even to the SEC, which, you know, is a crime. But that said, you normally don't talk about that in the public space until the ink's dry and the deal's done. And that's when you announce, hey, we've been acquired by X. So the fact that this came up just before Truth Social went live on the web means that, number one, this was, and I've thought this all along, that this was just a ploy by the left and using him as a useful idiot to bring people back to the platform so they could kill Truth Social. They can't do what they did to Parler, right? Parler, they just cut the cord and turned everything off, and it's a ghost town now. So they wanted to do the same thing, but they didn't have a mechanism to do it with True Social because they went with Rumble and they've gone completely outside of the box. So that's the first part. The second part is, I think, you know, Musk is the biggest defense contractor on the planet, and he's building a satellite network. So you have to ask the question, who would gain the most by owning a social media platform that you could turn off everybody else except for that platform in space? It sounds like a really good avenue for a control mechanism later on down the road, once you've got all the infrastructure in place. And I should remind everybody that if you look at China and the way China's set up, that social scoring system is tied right to social media. So it makes sense if you're building the biggest satellite constellation on, you know, around the planet to pipe internet everywhere, you would want to control the cultural narrative across the planet. And that's the part that people aren't talking about, is that when you put all the pieces together instead of just Twitter, you have a recipe for one guy controlling the cultural narrative across the planet. That is a very dangerous proposition. So what I hope ends up happening here is he pulls out of the deal and Twitter burns to the ground and they cease to exist. But again, with that much deep money behind you, they'll find a way to resuscitate it.
So it sounds like you're a little more skeptical to this Musk deal, Twitter deal, than most people are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I look at the,
I mean, you're just like
this,
a skeptical person in general, which is one reason I like you, but, yeah.
Can't be in my business and not be skeptical, right?
Because yeah, exactly.
In the security business, you have to be part ADHD, you have to be part paranoid, and you have to be part bitter and apathetic. And I'm not really apathetic, but I'm bitter. So those three play together. And the interesting side of all of this is that I'm the only one that's literally been saying, this isn't what you think it is, right? I don't take anything at face value, especially when it comes from the left, because you know, the difference between conspiracy and reality is about 3 days now, right? It used to be 6 months or a year, and now it's down to 3 days.
Yeah, right.
So you know where I'm going with that.
So one idea is that Musk is being used as some sort of asset to bring people onto Twitter to control them even more. Could we take, you know, the other side of the coin? Could Elon Musk have made a deal with the Trump camp to do all this, to tank Twitter, and to, you know, Elon Musk coming out and talking about the Durham investigation on Twitter and saying he's going to vote Republican, do all these things? I mean, it's like, what really is his deal, right? And I know there's some legitimate questions we have for Elon Musk and his dealings in the past and all that. Do we know the answers to those questions? Not necessarily, but could Elon Musk have been maybe a puppet at one point, maybe when Obama was in office, and now his puppet strings have been cut and he's making deals and doing things for the good of humanity? I mean, is that a possibility in your mind?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a difference between possible and probable, right? And it is possible, and it's also probable in this case. But again, I don't rely on what the rhetoric is, right? I'm watching the optics of how this is actually playing out and what's playing out. If you notice, if you watch the narrative over the last 6 to 8 weeks of this, every single time there's a major hit to the Democratic Party, he rolls out with some new comment that diverts the public conversation away from that, as well as—
Give me an example.
Like, you know, he came out last week with, hey, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I voted Democrat in every election. All right. That's a matter of public record. Right. But I'm going to vote probably Republican this time because I don't like the direction the Democratic Party's going in. Right. That happened right as Sussman's trial started. And now we're almost done. We're done with week one and we're getting into week two, and Hillary's been implicated. Right. And literally, she was thrown under the bus and said she was the one that gave approval for the Steele dossier to be pushed to the media. And it went, as well as Obama. Obama knew about it too. And it's under oath in court. It's a matter of public record now. So again, I'm just waiting to see what he's going to come out with next week that's going to divert the attention away from that trial.
I'm not sure if you've checked Elon Musk's Twitter account over the last 24 hours, but yesterday he was tweeting repeatedly about Sussman's case and even responding to the Hillary Clinton tweet where she's claiming Trump, Russia connections, Alpha Bank, et cetera. And Elon Musk is straight up tweeting that it was a Clinton campaign hoax, illegal criminal trial and all that. So
well, the optics are good, but again, I look at this from an information perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. It's good to have multiple perspectives and multiple possibilities, because you're right. Even in the conservative side of things, there does seem to be every so often an echo chamber about certain issues, and people get overly excited and then they let their imaginations go with what they want and don't really look at what is. So it's good to get multiple perspectives and just be cautious.
Well, I'm skeptical until I'm proven wrong. Right. Yeah. And I'm not cautiously optimistic in this, because I know what else he's got in the fire. And I also know what else, you know, he's got, you know, financially that he's doing too. And, you know, there's a bunch of key elements that people don't look at. And I look at all of it, right? I'm looking at the fact that he owns one of the biggest and most sophisticated AI projects on the planet for the self-driving Tesla cars. I look at the fact that he's built his own supply chain and he's built his own basically space force, for lack of a better word, that he controls on behalf of the American government. And there is a lot of variables there that could go one way or the other with just the flip of a switch. And that's why I've been cautioning people, don't put all your eggs into this and assume that this is a good thing, because we don't know how it's going to play out. Just because he's got good, you know, press, and he's very savvy when it comes to social media, and he's very savvy with distracting the public, does not mean he's a good guy. So I would love to be wrong. In fact, I'm hoping desperately that I am wrong in this case, but I'm going to stay skeptical until things play out.
Yeah, that is a good point. Elon Musk has built himself into a very powerful man with the technologies he's beginning to control with, you mentioned the supply chain, SpaceX and all that, the satellites in orbit. So Elon Musk is very, very powerful. And with a man of that power, we just need to be damn sure that he's working in all of our best interests and not psyoping the shit out of us. So
yeah,
that's a good point. And that leads us into our next conversation, which we were kind of discussing a little bit a minute ago with the Durham case and Michael Sussman. With what you're seeing there, you know, we've actually been getting public appearances of Durham. We know he's a real person. He's at this lawsuit. And, you know, a day or two ago, we hear about Hillary Clinton just getting totally thrown under the bus by her former campaign manager. And that campaign manager has probably got to be looking over his shoulder, you know, all the time. Doesn't want to end up as a Arkansider or anything like that. So what's your take of what's going on with this Durham investigation, the Sussman case?
Sussman's going to jail. And he, on his way there, he's going to throw the rest of the Clinton mafia under the bus to make a deal. Durham has the receipts. And one of the early filings one of the early decisions the judge made was to exclude some evidence. And it wasn't because it wasn't admissible. It's because he had enough stuff to prove the case and he didn't need that. And he was saving it for another case. Does that tell you anything? And then on day three, they throw Hillary under the bus that she not only made the decision, but she's the one that was pushing it to the press. So I think this is going to go another week or two, and then there'll be a conviction, and then he'll start singing like a jailbird and flip, and then they're done. Now, whether or not she actually gets indicted and she actually goes to prison, that's a whole different story, right? Because we don't seem to arrest and detain or even prosecute rich people here. So, I mean, case in point, Bill Gates should be in prison for crimes against humanity and treason, but, you know, we don't do that here anymore. So I'm curious to see which way that's going to go. But the good thing is that Durham does not need Merrick Garland to make any decisions, and he can prosecute on his own. So we will see people prosecuted. The question is, how high is it going to go? And when it does get to a certain level, the question becomes, are they going to be a flight risk and leave the country? Now, the Clintons, they're too well insulated, and they have too many people around them that are in too much of a security force to be able to take them out. But I would like to see them both rolled up, especially Bill, because he's a pedophile. But I'm not hopeful for that, but I am hopeful that some of the lower level players that were involved in this are going to be rolled up, especially some of the folks that worked in the administration and that are in the administration now. So I think we'll see some indictments, but I don't think we're going to see all of them. And I'd like to see every single one of them prosecuted. Yeah.
And you know, again, let's hope you're wrong. It's good to be skeptical and cautious, but let's hope we're all wrong thinking it's not going to go as high as it needs to go, like to Hillary and Obama. You just mentioned,
I'd love to see Barry perp walked. I would love to see him perp walked. In fact, I would like to see Barry and Michael perp walked for crimes against humanity and treason. And what I really want to see is Rin Tin Tin go chew on them for a little while, and then they bump their head getting in the car, and then they have an unfortunate accident on the chopper ride over to Andrews for their trip down to Gitmo. But we can be hopeful, just saying.
Accident. So you mentioned a minute ago, people currently in the administration, Durham has his target on. That was one thing I found very curious in Robbie Book, Hillary's former campaign manager, who was testifying the other day that threw Hillary under the bus. He also mentioned the name Jake Sullivan, And he also, I believe, mentioned John Podesta as well, which I would also love to see John Podesta.
Pedophile,
rolled up.
He needs to go to prison too.
Absolutely, yeah, for a variety of different things. And and I think Kash Patel as well, he's been seeming very happy and giddy in his public appearances and things he's posting on True Social and whatnot. Kash Patel mentioned that we could be getting our next indictments from Durham sometime this summer. Fingers crossed.
And he's deposed all of these guys, all of them. And that's the best part, is they're using his depositions in court against these guys, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
I just love seeing these guys squirm. But yeah, Jake Sullivan, he should be very concerned right now because he's next on the hit list. And I would love to see him, that smug prick.
Can you imagine
the go to jail?
Can you imagine the shit show that would ensue if a current sitting member, high official of the Biden administration, particularly the national security advisor, being Jake Sullivan, gets indicted by Durham?
Absolutely. I would love to see that. I would
I mean, faces would melt in the in the Democratic Party and in the mainstream media.
Yeah. It would make this Roe v. Wade thing evaporate.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing too, right? It's like the Musk thing, is you see this Roe v. Wade thing drop. Why now? And the best part was, it was a leak from the Supreme Court. A leak. Really? Come on. And all the pomp and circumstance around that. They haven't even released a decision yet or an opinion yet. And yet people are losing their minds. And the bigger kicker there is, okay, so Roberts, flaming liberal, is going to conduct an investigation to find out where the leak was. Really? You're the guy that leaked it. Come on. Everybody knows that you want to keep Roe v. Wade, and you're in the hip pocket of the Clintons. So come on. Really?
And you would think with how powerful the NSA, the CIA, the DIA, all these agencies are, they would be able to figure out who leaked it.
Absolutely.
That's akin to incredibly illegal acts, if not treason. And they would be able to find pretty quick, if they really wanted to, who leaked that. But
yeah, it would take 10 nanoseconds. Now I can tell you exactly which crew at NSA would do it too. But you know, that's neither here nor there. But where I was going with that is that it's the narrative that shows up when things are going south for not just the administration, but for the Democratic Party,
right?
And things in Ukraine. So they roll out Roe v. Wade, and look at how many people have lost their minds over it. It's almost comical, the amount of stupidity that has come out of this, right? They haven't, it's not even an opinion yet. So now the new leak and great gateway pundit was, it's going to come out Monday. Okay. Not going to change anything.
No.
So have at it.
And speaking of distractions, I found it curious that Congress wanted to hold those UFO hearings the very first day that Michael Sussman's trial, first or second day that Sussman's trial began. And then we get this dog and pony show BS nothing burger from Congress about these UFO hearings. It was just
nobody cares. Right? Yeah, because they know cares. They know it's all BS, so nobody cares. And
I do want to touch on that topic with you for a quick moment, because you're familiar with how the black projects in our government work and how they're very compartmentalized. And if they want to keep secret, they can. When they leak certain things to the media or hold these congressional UFO hearings, it's a very coordinated, manufactured disclosure, right? I hesitate to even call it disclosure. So give the listeners out there just a quick overview of how, in particular, the UFO topic, certain groups within the government intelligence community know very well what's going on with that issue, but that is not going to see the light of day.
Well, so let's talk about black programs for a while.
Yeah.
So the deal with black programs is, and this is the part that kills me with the whole community, is nobody in that community gives the government credit for being able to figure out some of these technologies without some kind of foreign intervention. And, you know, some of those black programs, they only bring you in if you have a specific skill set they need and you fit a personality type. And, you know, when you get interviewed for it, it's not really an interview, right? It's an informal discussion. And then you kind of figure out midway through, they're feeling me out to see if I'll fit and if I'm a profile fit for this specific project, which you probably know about that much about just in brief and some of the other meetings that you have. And even though you may be read into a program that could be this wide, you're only going to see about that much of it. And then
only what you need to know.
Yeah. Your specific part. And the reason why it's important is there are technologies that will never see the light of day. Right. And this is like 20 years ago when some of this, when I saw some of this stuff, right. And some of it you don't want out. Right. So
one of the things fall into the wrong hands, and then bad guys could use this tech for.
Imagine your worst enemy with the ability to traverse time and space and what that would do with our timeline.
Traverse, not reverse, right?
Yeah, traverse, right? Yeah. Forward, backward, doesn't matter, right? Imagine that technology in the hands of somebody like Saddam Hussein, or even worse, you know, Kim over in North Korea.
Right.
Your worst, you think about the coolest technology that you really like to see, and then think of your worst enemy actually having that technology and what that would do to your life. And we're probably living a timeline right now where they've actually gone back and screwed up the timeline, trying to kill somebody off or change it.
Imagine Hillary Clinton having access to directed energy weaponry or something like that.
But the point is that those programs, we have the ability to figure out these technologies, and we certainly have. And it's interesting to me that they keep showing you UFOs and USOs over water, but they never show you anything in space, and they don't want you looking up. Why do you think that is? When you craft a narrative and you push something out to the public, what you're trying to do is craft a very specific view that the public's going to have, and you keep beating the drum on it, right? That's why I keep going after Musk and the Roe v. Wade stuff, right? Is they're beating the drum to distract everybody away from what they really don't want you to pay attention to. And as far as I'm concerned, if you look up at night, that's where they don't want your attention. And the part that I haven't figured out is why. Is it that we're fighting a war out there that we can't win? Is it that we have, you know, a specific fleet of ships that are moving around? I don't know. But I know that we can figure out these technologies without the help of aliens, and we probably have. And some of this stuff started way back in the 50s.
I find it curious that one big narrative they're trying to push is that these craft, these anomalous craft people are seeing, they could be China, they could be Russia. They're even okay with people thinking it's aliens. But one thing they desperately don't want people thinking, and they debunk every single article they get, is no way it's American made. No way these are... No way these could be from secret U.S. programs.
Yeah, it's our stuff. I mean, come on, let's face it. It's our stuff, and they don't want the public to know it's our stuff, right? Like the conversation around the TR-3B, right? And so the whole premise of the TR-3B is that it sits up there in orbit, and it just circles the Earth collecting intelligence, and you don't have to send a crew up there because it's completely autonomous. So it sits there for years, collects intelligence. There's no moving parts. There's no replenishment required. There's no fuel source that you have to worry about.
It doesn't use standard jet propulsion. They're using more electromagnetic propulsion for it. So and it could be kept off radar that way as well.
Yeah. So, and the other thing too is that the only thing you would have to change on the craft is the technology for collection. And that's it. And that changes, every so often. But it's really not that much of a stretch to think that we have that kind of capability, especially when you look at the fact that we retired the SR-71 and there was no viable replacement for it. We retired the U-2s and there was no viable replacement for that. And they tried to use the nonsense of, we're using satellites. Well, satellites have limitation too, right? But if you have a craft that you could park over a country and it has enough power, because part of our problem with polar orbits is we didn't have enough power and we didn't have enough fuel to keep it in a polar orbit. So you can make the leap there and figure out that, hey, there's probably some really good technology that's sitting in space that we've become reliant on that we don't want anybody else to know about, right? And we certainly don't want the public to know we have these capabilities, because then our economy comes to a screeching halt the next day. So there's a lot of different variables.
All the oil baron central bankers out there would threaten their monopoly of power. So anyway, we need to do a whole episode on this topic. We will definitely in the coming weeks. And I want to get back to this. I want to particularly talk about like some of the clickbait about UFOs and other things in a minute. A lot of fake alien invasion, blue beam talk out there. And I think a lot of that's kind of fear porn trash. But anyway, one thing I do want to discuss before we get to talking about the clickbait, I want to talk about what's happening in Arizona, because we're hearing particularly from Carrie Lake. She made a post, I think, on Twitter or her Truth Social account the other day, where she was saying that some raids were going on and some potential arrests could be coming over election fraud. So what have you heard? What do you know? Or what do you speculate with that?
So Pima County started an investigation after 2,000 Mules was released, and they did some raids either this morning or yesterday, and it was in Gateway Pundit. I think it was yesterday they did the raids. That, as far as I know, they're the only county in Arizona that's actually doing an honest-to-God investigation. But then it rolls down to the bigger question, which is, okay, they can do local law enforcement and local convictions. The problem is at the state level, you still have Bronovich, who is a complete cuck for the McCain mafia, and he's not going to do anything. He's already pretty much swept under the rug. He came out with a cursory report that said, yeah, we know there's some fraud going on. We're still investigating. And then you have the bigger question, which is, where's the Maricopa County Sheriff? Why isn't the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in prison right now? Not only did they commit crimes, they committed felonies by deleting election evidence off the machines a day before the audit started. But yet, has the sheriff stepped up? No. But the only one that stepped up is the Pima County Sheriff, and he's going to run it to ground, and people are going to prison, and it'll probably be in the next couple of weeks. The question is, are Arizona voters going to get angry enough to demand that the sheriff and Maricopa do something about it? And I don't think so. I think people are too... There's three camps here, right? There's the camp where the election's over, Trump lost, let's move on. There's the camp in the middle of people that don't care. They just want to go to work, do their thing. And then there's the other camp where there's about a third of the population that's like, we want this fixed. We want people to go to prison, or the guns are coming out this election if you don't stop the cheating. And if you look at the bills they've been passing here, like they just passed, they just killed the bill for voter ID because Karen Fan and Bowers said that it is unconstitutional. Does that tell you anything? The legislative body here is completely worthless. And the one I'm calling out specifically is Sonny Borelli, because he talks a lot of shit, but he hasn't done jack to ban Dominion systems, number one, and number two, voter ID. Those were the two things that he's been talking about. And same with Wendy Rogers. You hear her talking about banning Dominion systems? No. So I don't have any hope that the legislature is going to pass anything that's going to really make a difference in the 22 election. In fact, most of the laws that they've signed into, that they've actually passed and signed, don't take effect until after the November 2022 election. So That should tell you everything you need to know right there. And I put them all on notice that this is it. If you don't pass something to get rid of Dominion systems before this election and they cheat again, I guarantee you your careers are over. Because I'm making my life mission to hammer them in social media until they either resign or they're hauled off to prison. Because what people aren't talking about, and this is the part that gets under my skin, is what happened in 2020 was treason. It was not election fraud. It was treason. And people need to call it what it is and stop calling it election fraud. These people committed an act of treason against our country. And it was perpetrated at the highest levels. It went all the way up to sitting congressmen and senators in the U.S. Senate. And nobody's talking about that. And even Trump's not talking about it. So, you know, I'm not hopeful that there's going to be any real changes here, but I just hope that it doesn't get really, really bad, because there are a lot of angry people here that are armed, and they are talking about the fact that civil war if they cheat again. And, you know, they're already cheating in Georgia. They're already cheating in Pennsylvania. Like Dr. Oz won by 1,000 votes. Come on. I mean, yeah, if anybody buys that story, they're morons.
It's a mess all over the place. And we have to be careful with these Republican, whether state senators or even federal congressmen, who are just kind of pandering and saying they're going to do something. We got to expose the election fraud. You know, we got to do this, do that. And they're getting in all these donations and getting a large following from people, a lot of likes on their posts and stuff. But, you know, they end up doing nothing. So,
yeah. And that's my problem with Carrie Lake. She's too perfect. She has the right talking points. She has the right staff. She's got the endorsements. She's getting the money. but she's too perfect, right? And she doesn't have any depth of experience. So it's not like she's going to step in and have this wealth of knowledge about how the political system works here. And more importantly, when I look at some of the people that have been promoting her on Telegram and on True Social, they were all flaming liberals until 2020. And all of a sudden now they're born again Republicans. The Republicans are worse than the Democrats in certain states. Here is one of them. Literally, they are trying their level best to convert the state to a blue state, and they're trying to do it through legislation. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's like, they don't think we can see it. Hello, we see you.
Because you said the McCain mafia has quite a control there in Arizona, right?
Well, it's from what I understand, there is one legal firm here that is tied to Perkins Coie in Scottsdale that is calling the shots for both Ducey as well as Brnovich and a few others, and they're tied to the DNC. How much of that is true, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me, because my interaction with the quote-unquote Scottsdale elite here has not been, let's just say, favorable. And I've been approached by a lot of people. Hey, I've got some very powerful friends that could help you send your message and just gauge in your interest. And I've had several of those, right? It turns out to be just goose egg. It's a wild goose chase. But the way the game's played here is they use you as a proxy. They throw money and then they start telling you what to say. And I have no interest in that, which is why I haven't signed up for any of that crap. But that's the way the game's played here. And there's definitely an elite in Scottsdale that runs the show at the state level. They're all in the background. They don't want to come to the front. They want to use players as controlled opposition. They want to use players as the quote unquote America First candidates. But you know, they've done their level best to get rid of all of the American First and Trump people. People just aren't going to go. They're not going away. They're here to stay. And that's the part the Republican Party doesn't get, is that the Trump crowd, when he came in, first of all, he did a very, very good job of crafting the social narrative. He did a fantastic job of distracting the press away from the key issues and focusing his attention and PR on him, which, brilliant information move, by the way, because if you watched his 16 campaign, every time he did a tweet, it would literally, the whole country would pivot on that tweet. And that would consume the news cycle for an entire week until the next week when he drops something else. And it's the same way here. But the establishment here does not want that crowd in power. So HB 2039, which was like essentially they picked the committee members, was finally struck down by a judge, or at least it was put on hold by a judge. But that's how they're trying to take the system back. They're trying to hand select McCain, Romney people to be in the GOP here instead of these America First people, because they're scared shitless of what these people are going to do. And they know damn good and well that they're going to strip the government here in the state, especially the state apparatus at the governor's level, of all the power they have to cause chaos with the average, you know, residents of the state. And the powers that be are desperate to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's a big part of what you're seeing. And then you have the New World Order crowd that's in here too, that's trying their level best to create chaos in the city, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's a stabbing at the store that's like a mile away from my house just last week. So they're ratcheting up the chaos, and they're bringing BLM out, and they're gonna re-energize Antifa probably in June, July, and keep it going, just like this monkeypox nonsense. They've got to keep the lie going so that they can cheat again, right? But it's on display and everybody's watching now. So I'm curious to see how it's going to go. But they're already starting to cheat. So it's just a matter of how much more cheating are they going to do?
Yeah, and how much more cheating are we going to take before we really start doing something about it? So cool.
I think this is it, bro. I think this November, if they cheat again, I think the guns are coming out. At least that's what I'm hearing. And it's unfortunate, yeah. But how many different ways can you tell the establishment you need to do this the right way, or there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get shot?
And yeah, they're just not listening. Don't want that to happen. So, okay, last subject I want to talk to you about is kind of the clickbait stuff. You mentioned you wanted to cover that a little bit.
I'm like you, bro. I get you. You do a better job of literally, you could pull the stuff out. I get it sent to me, so I see a lot of stuff. Like, one of the things I get on a regular basis is Mike Adams stuff, the Health Ranger report or whatever he calls it.
A lot of InfoWars type content.
God, it gets under my skin like a rash. Because first of all, this yesterday he released this audio tape of some Chinese people. We don't know who they are. It hasn't been verified, but they're going to use container ships to invade with three brigades. Okay, they're going to invade where? This is who? Has this been verified? If this is real intelligence, don't you think the U.S. government knows about it? And don't you think that the U.S. military knows about it? I mean,
if Mike Adams is putting it out, then I mean,
yeah, it's just.
I remember actually, I think it was towards the end of 2020 or early 2021, Mike Adams was running a very similar story that I think there were 40,000 Chinese troops on the Canadian border, Mexican border, ready to invade at a moment's notice or something like that. And
there were troops in Vancouver, but they were. So Canada passed a law called the Critical Infrastructure Act, and essentially it gave the Chinese the ability to put forces in Canada to protect their critical infrastructure. So that's what they were there for, doing winter training. Mm-hmm. And they were in Vancouver, right? Was it 40,000?
No,
not even close. But the point is that they, you know, the doom prophets turned it into fear porn to sell more stuff. Mm-hmm. And what drives me crazy about this is people don't do any critical thinking. So let's talk about an invasion of the US, what that looks like. First of all, wars are fought with logistics. I don't care what you think. It's not bombs, it's not planes, it's not tanks, it's not artillery, it's logistics. Because when you move forces somewhere, first of all, it takes a lot to move a brigade of troops. It is not a minimal exercise. It takes trains, aircraft, it takes trucks, it takes ships, and you have to move them somewhere. You have to embark them and then disembark them. Once you disembark them, you got to go back and get stuff because stuff's going to get blown up and people are going to get killed. So you got to bring more equipment and more people. You have to have a steady flow of logistics. Now, last I checked, China doesn't produce oil. China doesn't really produce enough food to feed their population. So they're going to send troops to the US and they're going to feed them. They're going to keep them supplied from 5,000 miles away. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Plus, logically, America is, how many guns do we have in this country? Like
over 230 million. It's actually 330 million. But
so what do they really expect to do with a couple of brigades?
Yeah. And the other part of it too is, even if they move 10 million troops in here, we had 250,000 boots on the ground in Iraq and we could not hold a city because it takes just a hold. And Colin Powell called it right. If you want to hold Iraq, you need 1 million men on the ground. And that's to hold Iraq. And Iraq's the size of Texas. So there's 49 other states in the continental US that, let's face it, they are not going to be able to hold with 10 million troops.
And there's probably more guns in Texas than the whole Chinese army has.
So. Absolutely. And thank God for rednecks, bro. Because you know it's going to be shotgun shells all over the ground, a bunch of rednecks and trucks going, woo, got her done, bro.
Yeah, right. That'd be really great. So, I mean, there's a lot of fear porn. There's the doom prophets that are always out there thinking, you know, telling their audience that the apocalypse is right around the corner. But then on this other side of the same coin, we have the hope prophets, the hopium dealers out there that are constantly telling their followers like, oh, some magic financial system is going to get activated, or, you know, all the bad guys you're seeing on the TV, they've all been switched out by clones. So there's nothing you need to worry about because it's all taken care of. So don't do anything.
That
you
know, clone thing,
the fear porn and the hope legs. Porn. What's up?
The clone thing has legs. People buy that, right? If somebody's got proof of that, let's see it. Because I've been hearing it for years. Or he's wearing a mask. Okay, that's plausible. Is it probable? Probably not. Because why would you mask an idiot like Biden and then put him on stage when he can't complete a sentence? Okay, he doesn't look like himself. That could be because of plastic surgery and all the facelifts the guy's had over the years.
Yeah.
But why would you put somebody that's in their basement that can only control a spoon in front of a teleprompter in a mask and then have them purposely screw up all the lines on the teleprompter? I mean, come on. There's a certain amount of it that's not real. And the other part of it is this clone thing. Even if it was real, which I suspect it is not. In fact, I'm just going to say, I think it's bullshit, but there's a lot of people to buy into it. And until somebody has some empirical proof of that, you know, stop buying into that. It's like the whole Jacera and Nacera thing, right? I think that's finally I think people have finally realized after a year and a half, 2 years of Charlie Ward, that that story is BS, because he's been saying for the last 2 years, any day now, the quantum financial system will be put in full effect.
Well, there's like a whole network of at least 24 individuals that all, they roll in the same group together, always circle jerking each other in their interviews, all having the same rhetoric, the same narratives. It's almost as if there's handlers behind the scenes, like giving these guys talking points every day, maybe they even are paying them to say what they're saying and setting them all up with the interviews with each other. And it's,
if you look at, like, I look at Nino, right? So Nino, I don't want to say he's getting talking points, because his content is all over the place, but he spends a lot of time with Juan O'Savin, the insider, Mr.
Yeah,
I'm
he loves
show
him.
You my boots. Yeah. But the guy's been wrong about absolutely everything. And from the word go.
Well, he's not right, but he's not wrong, because he talks in such vague word salad and he never gets to a freaking point. He doesn't make any direct statements. So it's just like,
well, he learned his lesson.
A lot of people don't realize that Juan O'Savin 6 years ago used to go by the name W, the Intel Insider, back in 2013-14. He was doing interviews like on the Hagman Report. They were selling him as being this insider. And then sometime around like 2017 or 18, he changed his whole name. He came out with his new Juan O'Savin character.
Rebranded.
Yeah.
And now, rebranding. Yeah.
And now he's like, it bothers me because he's rolling around in this Aston Martin that it's not even really his, honestly. And then he's going to these car shows while doing these interviews, and it's like flaunting his wealth or somebody else's wealth, and then lecturing folks on how bad it's going to get. Like, your followers are stressed. And you're rolling around in your boots and all that.
It reminds me of the Patriot double down. You and I sitting in the parking garage. Like, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to come in here. He's going to make a big show. He's going to say a bunch of shit. He's not going to answer any questions. And then he's going to leave. And that's exactly what he did. Yeah.
And him and a lot of others too, right? Simon Parks. And it's weird. Like I mentioned, they all hang out in their little network.
I can't believe Simon Parks is still in the game, because that guy is a dullard. Like, this is somebody sent me his stuff back in January of 2021 and said, this guy knows what's going on. I'm like, okay, first of all, why would anybody give a guy in his basement with his cats critical intel, especially in the UK? You notice how these Brits know a hell of a lot more about our politics and our internal operations than we do. It's right. The most amazing shit I've ever seen. And the funniest part is people believe it. Like Simon Parks, man, he knows what he's talking about. Really? Give that guy some Gerber and a spoon and tell him to go have a Coke and a smile and shut up, because you're not adding anything. But
right. And then some of these characters like almost connect to InfoWars kind of. And then you've got a couple like ufology community personalities. They're getting in with this Scott McKay, Jayco, Simon Parks network as well. It's kind of just interesting how all these different separate groups really aren't that separate when you look at it closely. And they're all pushing the same rhetoric. What do you think of like Jayco, the ex-CIA guy, and Scott McKay?
Don't pay attention to them. I don't pay attention to either one of them. And the one that I paid attention to, which was interesting, was Mel Kay had Kash Patel on her show. It's been about a month ago now. And she was trying to go down the rabbit hole of the New World Order, the WEF. And he wasn't biting. He's like, that's not my purview. I don't care about that. I'm watching this. And she kept trying to go there. And he was like, he's not playing. So, and he hasn't been back, which is interesting, because I think she got him on the show because of her affiliation with Trump and the Trump camp. But I think that's where it stopped. So, and
I don't really know what her affiliation is. I mean, she like went to Mar-a-Lago once, but are they
She used to work either with Trump or for Trump at some point in her career. And I can't remember exactly what it is off the top of my head.
I mean, I guess that could be taken a lot of different ways, you know?
But those are her words, right? I used to work for Trump and I can't
remember. Her words. Okay. Yeah. If those are her words, then
I can't remember what capacity she said it was in.
Yeah.
Was
we need specifics.
On. Yeah. Before I tuned her out last year in March, like the rest of them, I actually, I listened to some of what she said. It was the same thing as right. It's this circular narrative of, you know, things are, the good guys are winning, Trump's coming back, right?
Yeah. And like her talking points weren't as weird as some of the others, but I think the issue with her is that she kept having Charles Ward and Benjamin Fulford, who is, he's been pushing out disinformation for like a decade plus.
She would I get his stuff every week.
Oh,
and
dude.
I can't Fulford's even listen full to shit, it anymore. Yeah. Last week it was, what was the headline? Oh, the Chinese give the Khazarian mafia an ultimatum of nuclear war or, you know, whatever. And every week Biden's going to be taken out of power this week. So is Trudeau. And it seems like every single week, something new from the New World Order keeps being rolled out. And I don't see Biden going away.
Oh, so. And all these Chinese dragons are apparently like the most powerful people in the world, but they haven't done shit for years. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, I don't know why MLK kept entertaining clowns like Charles Ward and Ben Fulford and all that. That's why I'm wondering, like, if there's managers behind the scenes that we don't know their names or faces, but they're setting up these interviews for different personalities in this network, and then managing talking points and all that. So
yeah, I think it's plausible, bro. I mean, it's definitely possible and plausible in this case, right? Because they've been beating the drum for almost 2 years now about the same thing, but of course none of it's ever come true, but they keep beating the drum about it. And, you know, the part that I have a hard time with in that line of thought is, why would somebody pay them to continue the same nonsense when clearly the public's moved on from it, right? Because if you look at their followings have dwindled over the last
kind of, but they still get like a sizable tens of thousands, if not, you know, I mean, a few hundred thousand views.
I'm sure some of that's new viewers, right?
That could be fake followers, yeah.
Yeah, and if they're on YouTube, I told you before, I think YouTube is completely controlled, and anybody that's on there is a controlled asset. Maybe they're not a controlled asset, but they're
could be a useful idiot.
Yeah, yep. That's where I was going to go. So yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, it might not seem like they're making an impact, but with the way I see them and how they're marginalizing this community with their claims that they're getting to permeate through people's minds in it. I mean, it is stifling our progress, you know?
Oh, it takes so long to unwind some of those lies.
Oh yeah. And you know, their audience that believes some of their hopium and crap, they've been mentally ruined. Some of them have been financially ruined because, you know, they think Nazar is coming, so they don't need to pay their mortgage payment or anything like that, or bills. And and then the way that the mainstream media uses their talking points to attack the whole truth movement,
it really overshadows the good work that a lot of patriots have been doing to expose, you know, like
stuff. Yeah.
Yuval Harari, right? It was patriots that exposed who that guy was and what his talking points were, and you know, brought those videos not just to Telegram but to Rumble and to BitChute. Right. It was patriots that did that. It was patriots that went after the gal from the disinformation board and outed her as a shill. Right. And it was within hours. Right. It was taking us weeks to do it. Now it's within hours of stuff coming out there, debunking stuff like the Buffalo thing. Right. Somebody pulled the manifesto down literally the same within minutes of that shooting happening and being reported. The manifesto was pulled down. Right. And 1500 pages. Even the most staunchest Q supporter was like, "Yeah, it's bullshit. He didn't write all that. He had help." And then the AR-15 that he used, first of all, it's an A2. It's an old version. And then it's got the writing all over it. Somebody helped that kid. Come on. He didn't just do that by himself and come up with a manifesto that's 1,500 pages. First of all, nobody writes a 1,500 page.
Yeah, 180 pages.
Yeah, there's no way.
So, I mean, I picked that apart, I think, the next morning, and I wrote all about that, the BS and the manifesto and all that. So, yeah, you're right. It's not 6 months anymore. It's like 2 or 3 days.
It's 3 days. Yeah. And it's the Charlie Ward, the Alex Jones and that crowd. Those guys have literally taken the focus away from the good work that patriots are doing and bringing people together and waking people up.
Kind of like the Venom Water thing. I mean,
God,
if you bring there's so many aspects to expose COVID with and the vaccines and all that, but sometimes it's tough now because people will inject venom water in the conversation, and you're like, oh shit. I mean, now it's just, now it's a mess.
There's 80,000 pages from Pfizer that they knew about myocarditis. They knew about all of these different side effects, and they hired an army of people to manage it as well as VAERS. And nobody's talking about
Nobody wanted to talk about that. They all wanted to talk about venom water.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of same thing with the whole UFO topic. There's so many minute details to discuss in regards to that. But whenever you bring it up, it seems like, at least in conspiracy world, people instantly revert to, oh, blue beam. Oh, fake alien invasion. Oh, all this stuff.
I'm just going to go on record and say it's our shit. It's not alien. Yeah. It's our shit. We built it. And
Project Blue Beam was never proven to be an official government or military operation. It was the theory of a Canadian author that he brought out in the 1990s that was all just speculation, right? So we've got these content
like Gary
creators
McKinnon,
that,
right?
What's that?
It's like Gary McKinnon. McKinnon came out with the he's the guy that hacked in and found the database of the U.S. ships that were in space.
Yeah, the Navy ships, Solar Warden, and all that.
Right. The terrestrial versus non-terrestrial officers. Mm-hmm. And he even said in an interview, like 10 years later, somebody asked him, so terrestrial means it's U.S., you know, it's American or whatever it is, human officers and non-terrestrial? He goes, no. Terrestrial means they're in the United States. Non-terrestrial means they're in space. Hello, that's how I took it. And even the guy that was interviewing was having a hard time with it, right? And it's like, that's how I read it. It wasn't like I got all this information. I got a spreadsheet that had these things in it, and this is what I'm interpreting from it. So, I mean, look at how long it's taken to debunk that, because people think, oh my God, we're working with aliens. We have aliens on our ships and we're on the moon. Okay, some of that might be true and probable or possible, but come on. We can figure this stuff out on our own.
These secret space program whistleblower super soldier people are like a dime a dozen these days. You can find them all over YouTube videos and Rumble videos. I mean, there's like dozens now coming out saying, oh, I have memories of being in these programs. And like, okay, but you're saying that on YouTube videos, and no one's coming after you. No one's censoring you. And
yeah,
I'm going to give some proof for that, right?
Yeah. It's like Corey Good, right? He literally took a story from somebody else that Sean David Morton had published years before and made it his own story. And now look at him.
Yeah. So, I had to, you know, really take some time and find that one out the hard way. But once I did, then all the other ones was just easy to pick apart. And you're right. They all take like each other's stories and just kind of parrot that with a few new details that seem legit on the surface. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to believe this guy. Like, for instance, Michael Jaco, he came out and claimed that he was in the secret space program years back, and he's getting all these memories of it. Like, come on.
Well, in his case, I think a certain percentage of these guys are doing this for monetary reasons, right? They're pushing it out there to milk it as long as they can. Then you have folks that I think are disinformation nodes, like Stu Peters, Mike Adams, and
you're saying
Alex Jones.
They could be fed lines to put out there.
I think they are disinformation nodes. I absolutely think that. And I think that their storefronts are a way for them to make money from that. But I think they're also getting money from somewhere else, because, you know, Alex Jones was supposedly bankrupt 2 months ago because of all these court cases from Sandy Hook that have gone against him. And he even says in his depositions, if you watch any of his depositions, 14 hours of them, by the way, I watched, he even says, this is entertainment. I do this, I put on a face, and I go entertain people.
He's an actor.
Yeah. So that should tell you right there that this...
I get the same vibe from Stu Peters.
Oh, Stu Peters.
And Stu Peters, one of the first, you know, he wasn't doing his podcast thing. He went from like rapper from Bounty Hunter to podcaster within like a couple months. And then he was getting primetime shows on Alex Jones' show right at the beginning of his podcast in like early 2021. So how did he move up the chain so fast and then get his big show and then start hooking up with Lynn Wood too real early on? So,
but think about it this way. Look at a guy like Clay Clark, right? Clay Clark has a very large media empire that he's built organically by himself. And he doesn't have any of the inertia behind him or notoriety, but yet he's doing all these Patriot shows with Flynn and all these other guys. And there's a lot of people don't even know who Clay Clark is. And yet he's got this massive following that he's built by himself. He doesn't make any of those claims. He sells product, but he doesn't sell product the same way, right? The Alex Jones model is fear, fear, fear. Hey, buy my shit. Fear, 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 buy my shit. Mike Adams is, hey, the end's coming, so you better buy some water supplies. Oh, I just happen to have this emergency water kit. You should buy it for me. That's his game. Stu Peters is, his whole thing for the first 6 months was the vaccines, 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 vaccines. Then the whole snake venom nonsense came out. But he's got a lot of money behind him because he showed up everywhere. And where I was going with that is when you look at Clay Clark and his media presence and how he shows up versus how Stu Peters shows up, there was some government behind him because he showed up everywhere across every platform.
Yeah, he's got that Fed boy haircut too. And one thing I find curious about Peters and some of the characters that are close to Peters, like his producer and some others, is that look who they're attacking too. They're attacking the Gateway Pundit. They're attacking Richard Grinnell. Mm-hmm. Who else were they attacking? I think at one point, even
Flynn. They went after
Flynn. Yeah. Stu Peters had that guest on that was calling Flynn and Pompeo deep state. And then
remember. So what do you know about Pompeo? So Pompeo there's a West Point. He's from a West Point class. I think it's 86, where there was like five or six of them that were called the group or the Bright Stars or whatever they were called. These guys were IQs over, 150, very, very smart guys. He was one of them. And I think Pompeo's way overrated. But the bigger question is what has Pompeo done since he's left office?
He's basically been like a shadow secretary of state.
Right.
He was just in Albania meeting with Iran opposition. It's like he's almost working.
Why would he be there?
What's that?
Why would he go to Taiwan? Why would he go to Albania?
To run a shadow government for Trump. That's the only thing I could think of.
Why would Chris Miller go to Poland? Why would he go and spend time on the ground when he's not the SECDEP? Right. So there, where I'm going, I'm not making any assumptions about it. I'm definitely not going to make any conjecture about it. But I think the optics of that are interesting. I think the timing of that was very interesting. And more importantly, I think the fact that he's been pretty much out of public life except for Fox News for the last year is very, very interesting, especially Chris Miller, because he was radio silent. And then all of a sudden he shows up in Poland and he's doing an interview and a podcast. That makes me very, very interested in what's going to be next, mm-hmm. as well as what he's doing over there, because they didn't ask him to come over. He did it on his own volition, right? So he's got a nonprofit that's supposed to support defense and strategic initiatives. Okay, what does that mean? And is Poland a part of that? So, and the interesting thing about what's going on right now is people don't realize we're moving forces into Poland. We have a lot of forces on the border, which just forced Putin to escalate and do a force buildup as well. So it's interesting the timing that Chris Miller goes over there as that that buildup is going. And if you look back to 91, when Hussein moved into Kuwait, it took us about 6 months to get enough force projection of forces on the ground to be able to conduct any kind of movement, right? And I should remind everybody that when we did the movement into Kuwait in 91, the U.S. military was at its absolute height of training and maneuver warfare at that time. And we lived, breathed, and exercised maneuver warfare across the planet. We are no longer doing that. So this is going to be a very interesting proposition if this administration is stupid enough to take us to war head-to-head with Russia. First of all, it's going to go nuclear really quick. And secondly, it's going to be important. It's going to be interesting to see how are we going to sustain these forces that we move forward, because we really don't have a lot of logistics right now. We can't replenish the forces we're losing because we've, used Lend-Lease now this is another one. People don't understand Lend-Lease. When we did Lend-Lease, when Roosevelt did Lend-Lease in early 40s, he was taking operational equipment off of active duty and giving it to the Russians and the British and other forces to keep the Germans and the Japanese at bay. It took us years to be able to replenish those forces and those, especially the shipping, because we gave them destroyers, we gave them cruisers, we didn't give them any battle wagons, but we gave them destroyers mainly and a lot of aircraft. as well as tanks. And all that stuff came off of, at first it came out of operational forces, and then the assembly line started kicking up, and then it was off the production line. But it was well into 42 before we were able to do that. So imagine what would happen now that we're giving our operational equipment to the Ukrainians, who, by the way, are getting their asses handed to them. Why would we do that? And then $40 billion more, where's the money going? What are they doing with it? Right. That $40 billion should go to defense contractors here to produce the weapons to support the war effort. You notice how nobody talks about that. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops. And if you do the backward planning from 6 months, that puts it at late August, early September for any kind of an offensive, assuming that that's what the plan is. So the optics of those moves between Pompeo and Miller are very, very interesting. What they mean, I don't know, but I just think it's very, very interesting in the timing. And the other part of that that goes along with that is the devolution crowd gets really upset every time I talk about this, but I got to keep reminding people of this, right? So some of the things that Patel has put out, first of all, it's always been solid analysis, right? He's done a lot of good analysis, but the dangerous part of devolution is that people believe it's going to happen exactly the way he says it does. And the enemy gets a vote in everything you do. So I've been saying for months now, it's not going to play out the way you think it is. And if this is what's going on, then the enemy's going to get a vote and they're going to disrupt those operations, if not, overtake or cancel others. You can't expect it to show up the way you think it is. And people are so tied to it that every time you say something about it, they just lose their minds. And
yeah, I mean, suggesting that maybe Trump has to wait till 2024 to run again and get back in again, or, suggesting anything other than like Trump getting in by midterms or something like that, it sets some people off.
Yeah. And see, this is the part that the other thing that pisses people off. I don't give a shit about Trump. He's one guy, right? What I care about is that we establish free and fair elections again, and we get our election process under control. And more importantly, we put enough pressure on our elected officials to bring the law enforcement and, the rule of law back to this country. Because if we don't do that, it's going to be a civil war.
Yeah.
And we're already headed there. If you look at Merrick Garland, DHS, everybody in Washington, and this is the other part that kills me. People get upset when I say everybody in the leadership positions of Washington, D.C., even the SESs are communists, every single one of them. Look at what they're doing with DHS. This whole disinformation board, we're going to put it on pause. What that usually means in government speak is they're going to do something more insidious in the background, and they're going to use the FBI and other branches of law enforcement to carry it out. They've been looking for a reason to use the FBI to go after political opponents, which, by the way, is what communists do. That's exactly what China's doing. They've locked down their country under the guise of COVID, but really they're going after political dissidents. I mean, what we're not hearing about is the fact that China's in the midst of a civil war in the Communist Party, and nobody's talking about it. And don't you think it's interesting that Xi and Putin are both sick at the same time?
Yeah.
Isn't that
or at least rumors. Yeah, rumors that they're sick and all that.
So I think we're in for a hot summer, and I think they're going to roll out Antifa. They're going to roll out BLM. We're going to see more chaos in the cities. They've defunded police. So you've got half the police in most of these blue cities. I think the blue cities are going to blow up first. We're going to see it all the way through September. They're really trying hard to get this monkeypox bullshit off the ground and people to buy into it. I'm sorry, in your area, dude, I was up there last weekend and I was shocked at the number of morons walking around wearing masks outside. And even better, the sheer volume of stupid that was driving around their cars by themselves with a mask on. Are you kidding me?
I still see that from time to time.
Seattle's unbelievable, the level of stupid right now.
Yeah, I'll be out of here soon enough. So anyway, man, anyway. Good talk. Went off on some tangents there at the end, but always appreciate your expertise, your perspectives. The point is, we don't always have to agree. We're, never going to agree 100% on anything. But when we have well thought out ideas or perspectives, we got to put them all together and see what rises to the top. So that's why I like to have you on. And you're a critical thinker. So
the thing I'd say to your audience is, when you see things like the Musk thing and you see that come across, don't take it at face value.
Don't take anything at face value.
Yeah. Connect the dots at the global level and look at what, you know, what would this do, this technology do, if you add it to other technology that this guy has, right? He's just one example, but there's so many other examples out there. Mm-hmm. And don't get tied up with the narrative. It's just a narrative.
Yeah.
Get tied up with what they're doing. What's the actions?
Well, hey, man, one last thing I want to ask you about is I just want you to plug your business, what you've been getting into.
Oh, so yeah. So Republic Armament, we build guns to order. In fact, every month we do a builder kit from Arrow Precision. I really like Arrow stuff because they build a quality product. They're tied in with Ballistic Advantage, who makes all their barrels. They have a very quality product. In fact, I've got several arrows in my safe that are my personal weapons that super, super good quality. We build exactly what you want. So you tell us what you want. If you want optics, instead of going to the gun store and buying a gun with a bunch of boxes and then trying to put it all together, we put it all together for you. So we put the optic on it. We'll put the bipod on it. We put all the furniture, meaning the lights, the lasers, whatever you want on it, exactly the way you want it. We bore sight it and we hand it over to you. It shows right up to your, you know, your local FFL and it's done. You don't have to take a bunch of boxes home and try and figure out how to put it on the gun and then go sight it in. We do all that for you.
Sweet. Cool, man. I'll leave a link down below for that. And if any of my audience is out there looking for some self-defense tools, you can help them out with that. So appreciate Absolutely. You, man.
Thanks, brother.
Any last words?
No, it's good to see you. I'm glad we were able to finally connect. Sorry about earlier in the week, but your schedule, my schedule, sometimes really hard to connect, but I'm glad we finally did.
Hey, man, we'll do this again soon, just within the next week or two. We'll get on a more consistent schedule. So appreciate you and see you next time, brother.
All right. Take care.